Brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the Bible conference on my behalf and the behalf of the church, as our pastor has already done. Thy brother was leading that last song that was sung there, "Take Time to Be Holy." I just want to read that second verse just one more time, not sing it. Just read that verse and listen to the message in that. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Beloved, I do not say that I have spent more time in prayer than any of you. But I will say this much. I have spent a lot of my time, especially in the past 26 years and over, in prayer. I do not mean that I didn't spend time in prayer when I was pastoring a church. That I certainly did. But I have had to rely more upon the power of prayer and my ministry yonder in New Guinea than I ever have at any other time. I know what it means to be alone with God and to pray expecting an answer. I believe, beloved, before I read my text, I just want to say this, that I believe in praying definitely. Praying to a personal God and expecting a definite answer. If you don't do that, you might as well not to pray. Our text tonight is found in Isaiah, the 38th chapter, beginning with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Now note, this is the second time. Saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. You know, there is so much talk among our sovereign grace preachers that prayer doesn't change God, and I'm not here tonight to tell you that it does. That it has got a lot of people to pray that they won't even hardly pray at all. They think, what's the use of praying? God's not going to It's not going to change anything anyway. Beloved, well, we'll get to that in just a moment. I believe that we ought to pray to God definitely. Have something to pray about. Amen. And pray to the Lord, believing in faith that He is able to hear and to answer and to accomplish that. And then expect the Lord to do it. Ye have not. Why? Because you ask not.
Amen. That's right.
When I was in India, I saw many different types of worship. They worship monkeys, elephants, and a host of other things, including cows. A cow serves in India as a beast of burden. It is also used for food and for milk. And the dung is used to cook their food on. Usually, they let the cows sleep under their house. They build a two-story type of house, and usually their cows sleep under their house at nighttime. But most of all, the cow is worshipped in India. And serves not only as these other things, but it serves many of them as their god. One of the most amazing things there is in connection with their worship is a praying wheel. Now, this is a little round cup made of brass, and it's placed on the top of a stick. And as they twirl this stick, that cup begins to turn round and round. They write out their prayers, and they put them in that cup and give that stick a whirl, and the cup begins to revolve, and their prayers are said. Beloved, this is about the way many professing Christians pray today. Only the wheel is not on top of a stick, it's in their head. They kneel down and rattle off a road of prayer day by day, the same thing, with scarcely any thought whatsoever about what they're supposed to be praying about. Beloved, that kind of prayer is profanity. Taking the name of the Lord in vain, and it is even worse than a waste of time. Now, as I said at the outset, I believe in definite praying to a personal God and expecting definite answers when I pray, having been led of the Spirit in what I am praying for. Many of us, we have not because we ask amiss. We have just read about a man that was sick unto death and was told by the man of God to set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed. Now, what do you think he prayed for? Well, I wasn't there. But if the Lord were to tell me I was going to die and I wanted to live a little longer, I'd pray and ask the Lord to be merciful unto me and to give me an extension of life. I believe that's what Hezekiah prayed for. Why do I believe that? The Bible says, then Isaiah was instructed, and this was the second message, go and say unto Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add. Now this is something he didn't have. When something is added to you, it's something you don't have. Behold, I will add unto thee unto thy days 15 years. Beloved, sentence had been passed. God had said to Isaiah, tell Hezekiah, you're going to die and not live. But Hezekiah prayed. And as I say, I believe he asked the Lord for an extension on his life. And Isaiah was told to go to him and to tell him that I'll add another 15 years unto your life. And so by praying, he got a stay of execution, didn't he? Beloved, there is power in prayer. We read in 1 Samuel, in the first chapter, in the fifth verse, concerning Hannah, that the Lord had shut up her womb. We read in verses 10 and 11 where she prayed unto the Lord and asked for a definite thing, and that was a man child. Hannah was praying so fervently and praying so definitely that her husband thought she was drunk. And in verse 15, she said, I'm not drunk.
Pardon me, Pastor.
I'm not drunk.
I might as well walk one of you just.
She said, I'm not drunk, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know the reason we don't get any more answers to prayer? We don't pour out our soul to the Lord. We can't wait to pray so we can hurry up and get through and get on doing something else. Why, we pray, we are praying people. But we just can't wait to get at it so we can hurry up and get through with it. But here was a woman that was, she poured out her soul unto the Lord. And we read in verse 20 that Hannah conceived. She bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Did the Lord answer her prayer?
Amen.
Was she able to bear a child before? The Bible has to lie if she was. The Bible says the Lord had shut up her womb. But she prayed and asked, and God opened that and give her a son. Exactly what she prayed for. She didn't pray for a daughter. She'd have prayed for a daughter, I believe she'd have got a daughter.
Amen.
But she prayed for a boy and she got a boy. Just what she asked for. Beloved, we have just noted. Well, first of all, I want to note one other case. And you're all familiar with that one over the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. There the case of Zacharias. And we read in verse 6 about Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. But you see, Zacharias was a priest, ministering about the temple, and in connection with what we read here, and burning the incense, is, beloved, a type of prayer. So what was Zacharias doing? He was praying in the temple. And we read in verse 10 that the whole multitude how the people were praying without at the time of incense. And then, what do we find? The angel said unto him, that is, unto Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Aren't you glad that Zacharias prayed for a child? We stand here as Baptists today as a result of that prayer. Yes, beloved, I believe in definitely praying and expecting God to give us a definite answer. Beloved, we have just noted three cases here where God acted in answer to prayer. One, he added 15 years to a man's life because he heard his prayers and he's seen his tears. The second one, after having closed the womb of Hannah, when she poured out her soul before the Lord, in asking for a man-child, the Lord opened her womb. And she bare a son, she conceived and bare a son, and as it says in the Bible, because she asked him of the Lord. Then in the third case, God reversed the course of nature and natural laws. You know, there's nothing that's too hard for God.
Amen.
God reversed the course of nature and natural laws in the case of Elizabeth, who was barren and well stricken in years, because the whole multitude of the people were praying as well as Zacharias. Yes? And the angel said unto him, and fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. How many of your prayers have been heard here of late? How many times have you prayed here of late? Have you just prayed, oh Lord, bless us, bless everybody, heal everybody, may everybody be wealthy? Things like that. You need to get down on your knees. Oh, Lord, this poor old sinner. Call him by name. He's lost without Christ. And oh, God, wouldn't you be merciful and save his soul? Many of you in this audience have read over and over and over again the books of Brother Boyce Taylor. Brother H. Boyce Taylor. I sat under a man who sat under Brother Boyce Taylor when I was going to Bible school, Brother Zacharias Clark. Brother Clark told me that Brother Boyce Taylor prayed for one man 42 long years before he seen that man saved. But he didn't give up. He prayed, and he prayed. We're told, beloved, to come boldly to the throne of grace, but the question arises in many hearts. How can we come into the presence of God? And how can we know that we're in the presence of God? How can we be sure? I believe, beloved, that the first part of that answer is found in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and in the 19th verse, where it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There's your answer.
Amen.
Enter in by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you one of my secrets in praying. I don't know what you have. I'm sure that we all have our different ways and modes and so on and so forth, but I do trust that we all talk to the Lord. But I'll tell you one of the things that I have found over the years, over and over and over again, that has helped me when all else would fail. And that is that I would pray, proclaiming the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've seen definite answers to my prayer. I want to tell you a quickie. I was coming from a meeting one night, me and two other preachers. We got over here on 52, was on 52, headed north. And about 1:30 in the morning, we run out of gas. We We were sitting there on the highway. We had a CB in the car. Got on the CB and called everybody all around. Turned, switched over to Channel 9 to get the highway patrolman and tried to get them and so on and so forth. Nothing happened. We tried it again. And one fellow says, I'm going to get out and walk and I'm going to get us some gas. I said, wait a minute, brother. I think we are going about this thing the wrong way. I said, let's pray about this matter. And I said, bow your heads. And I prayed just a short prayer. I just simply said, Lord, you know our situation. Here it is. Nearly 2 o'clock in the morning. We're out of gas. Send us some help in whatever way it pleases you. I had much more than hung up the receiver until there was a patrolman that pulled up behind our car. Bless his heart. He says, have you got some trouble, fellas? I don't know where he come from. We looked all, had looked all around. You know, beloved, I think the second part of that question is answered in Ephesians. And in the second chapter in verse 18, where it says, for through him we both have our access in one spirit unto the Father. The thought is the same as before with this addition, in one spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Beloved, when you and I pray, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to take us by the hand, as it were, and to lead us into the presence of God and to introduce us to Him. The Greek word that translates the word access, it is the exact equivalent in its etymology of the word introduce. So what does the Holy Spirit do? It takes us into the presence of God and says, God, here is a man and here is a woman that's got a problem. They come to lay it before you. We don't know how to pray as we ought. You know, let me tell you something, beloved. Prayer will promote our personal holiness as nothing else other than the Word of God. It will cause power in our life. We're told in the book of Ephesians that God hath blessed us with every blessing in heavenly places in Ephesians 1 and 3. Now, beloved, there is no spiritual blessing that any believer enjoys that you may not enjoy. You can enjoy any blessing that any other believer enjoys. Christ purchased this with His atoning death, and God has provided it in Him. God's appointed way of claiming that blessing is by prayer. And you go through your Bible, and you'll find that every conceivable blessing is obtained by and through prayer. For instance, we read in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, that it is in answer to prayer that God searches and knows our hearts, tries us and knows our thoughts, brings to light the sin that is in us, and delivers us from it. Then we learn from Psalms 19, 12, and 13, in answer to prayer, that we are cleansed from secret faults. And God keeps us from presumptuous sins. And from Psalms 19 and 14, that the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart are made acceptable in God's sight. And then, beloved, it is in answer to prayer in Psalms 25, 4 and 5, that God shows us His way and teaches us His path and guides us in His truth. Prayer will bring bring power to preachers. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, just quickly let us note, the Apostle Paul started saying, beginning with verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, so many preachers today, they get so hung up on so many pet doctrines, they make the gospel so mysterious that people can't understand. But Paul says that I might make known the mystery. Now, a mystery in the Scripture is not something that cannot be understood. It's just something that hasn't been revealed up to that time. For which, in verse 20, I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Yes, power for preachers. Any church, beloved, may have a mighty man of God for their pastor. Now, I'll say that without any qualifications. I don't care how poor a speaker he may be. If they are willing to pay the price, and that's not a big salary, though a big salary don't hurt any preacher, but great praise. Have you got a pastor you don't like? Perhaps you might say, yes, I do. Well, do you have a pastor, perhaps, that's inefficient? Perhaps you might say, well, my pastor doesn't preach exactly like I think he should. Or do you have a pastor that doesn't know or doesn't preach the truth? Do you want a new minister? Do you want a new preacher? Well, let me tell you how to get one. Don't get one. Don't get rid of the one you got. But pray for that man until God makes him over and guides him into all truth. Lastly, prayer will bring power and blessings to churches. Beloved, when we read the only inspired church history that was ever written, the history of the early church as recorded by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, what do we find? We find a story of constant victory. We read, for instance, in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and in the 42nd verse, that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Then we read in Acts, the 4th chapter, and in the 4th verse, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You know, they begin that there's having quite a revival, wasn't it? Yes. And in the 5th chapter and in the 14th verse, and believers were added the more to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women. And in the 7th chapter of this, of the 7th verse of the 6th chapter, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. Even the preachers was getting saved. You see. I'm talking about prayer, the power of prayer. What is the difference in the early church, beloved, and the churches of today? If you'll turn to those same chapters, you will find, beloved, the answer. We look in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and in the 42nd verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
Yeah.
We're talking about prayer tonight.
Yeah.
And then in the sixth chapter and in the fourth verse, we read, beloved, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Amen.
I close in saying this, beloved, that we do not live in an age that people believe in prayer as it is in the days of old. We don't. But rather, we live in an age of hustle and bustle. We live in an age of man's effort and man's determination, of man's confidence in himself, in his own power to achieve things. We live in an age of human organization and human machinery, human push and human scheming and human achievement. And beloved, I think it would be perfectly safe to say that the churches of today, they have never in all of the history of the Lord's churches been so fully, so skillfully, and so thoroughly and so perfectly organized as they are today. You know, beloved, the machinery is wonderful. Why, it's just perfect. But alas, it's machinery without power. It's just machinery. And when things don't go right, instead of going to the source of failure, that is, neglect to depend upon God and to look for God for this power that they need, what do we do? Look around to see if there is not some new organization we can set up, some new wheel that we can add to the already existing machine. Instead of depending on God and doing things after the New Testament pattern, both pastors and churches, they get their organizational machinery together, working themselves and forge out a new plan which they think is a far better system than God's system and His plan as outlined in the New Testament. I believe, beloved, if we'll stick to prayer and to God and to ask Him definitely to guide us, praying in the Spirit and praying being led of the Spirit, we're going to get some definite answers, and we can let all this old machinery dry up and rust out and fall by the wayside. God bless you.